When Ben-Hur was released 50 years ago, it was the most expensive film in MGM's history. And all that money paid off because it was a huge hit and won 11 Academy Awards, something that has only been matched more recently by Titanic and The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. If you've never seen Charlton Heston in his Oscar-winning performance, you'll have several opportunities coming up. It's just been released in an ultimate 4-disc collector's edition from Warner Home Video, and it will be shown in all of its widescreen splendor this Saturday at 10:30 in the morning as part of the New York Film Festival's 2011 Masterworks series. And although its director William Wyler isn't with us anymore, I'm delighted to have a chance to speak with his daughter, Catherine Wyler. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
How old were you when Ben-Hur came out?
I was in college, actually. So I wasn't there the whole time like my younger siblings were. But I was there summer and vacations.
When you say there, it was shot mostly in Rome?
That's right. And the family lived in Rome for over a year.
So when your father went on location, he took the family with him usually?
Yes, he did. In fact, he didn't go on location until he made Roman Holiday in the early 50s. The studio heads wanted their guys close to home. But once the world started getting bigger, he loved going on location.
Did he put his kids in the movies?
No. Well, I shouldn't say no. He did put my sister and me in Roman Holiday. We have a moment at the Trevi Fountain. My sister has a close-up, and I have three words, "Hey, Miss Weber," but he never used us again.
Uh-huh.
And so Melanie and David did have Centurion costumes, but they weren't in the movie.
It wasn't the first time that your father won an Oscar for Best Director. He'd already won two, actually, hadn't he?
That's right.
So very different kinds of movies, The Best Years of Our Lives and Mrs. Miniver, a lot more modest productions. How did this film compare with the others for him?
Well,
was this the only time he ever did one of these big Cecil B. DeMille type epics?
That's exactly the way he thought of it. He was actually a very successful director from a very early age, I think starting even before Dodsworth in the 30s.
And a fabulous film.
Yes. But his interest was really in trying to make all kinds of films. So he was shocked when the producer came and started talking to him about Ben-Hur. He'd never thought of making a movie of that size, but he quickly realized that it was going to be the most expensive movie ever made, which meant that he would have fabulous resources. And I know that actually he didn't like the script when he first read it, and he asked if he couldn't just do the chariot race, because that was obviously going to be the really fun part. But the producer said, no way, we want you because you will do a good job with the actors and the intimate scenes. And ultimately he wore him down and he decided, okay.
Well, of course, that's what makes an epic film more of a success. If the rest of it seems plausible. Victor Mature once, I don't know if you ever heard that story, supposedly he was being denied an opportunity to buy an apartment in some co-op, and they said, we don't have actors in this building. And he said, I'm not an actor, and I have 50 films to prove it. Because he was in the kinds of movies where acting was not the most important thing.
And that's like Paul Newman was actually one of the early actors that they talked to for the role of Ben-Hur.
Oh, but Charlton Heston wasn't the first choice?
He was an early choice, but not the very first. Paul Newman had been in a dog of a movie called The Silver Chalice. Mm-hmm. And when he was asked, he said, I am never going to make another movie in a cocktail dress.
Your father had worked on an earlier version of Ben-Hur, hadn't he?
When my father first came to Hollywood from—he was born in France. He was an assistant director, one of many, for the chariot race of the first Ben-Hur. And we had a family saying, one of the jobs, he had a section of the stands. And what he had to say to them just before the take was— pull up your pants and light your torches. Pull up your tights and light your torches. That was a family saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, the director of that film, some people will remember the name, but he's not one of the great ones, Fred Niblo.
Fred Niblo, I know. Well, it was a silent film. And my father, when he assembled the whole uh, the whole cast in the for the chariot race. Apparently, he had many assistant directors again working up for the crowds, and he assembled them and said, "Well, you know, do your best, and we'll see which one of you does Ben-Hur again in the next 50 years."
Well, your father had a reputation for being a perfectionist with many takes, but you couldn't do many takes on the chariot race, could you?
He didn't actually direct the chariot race. It was a...
was it Yakima Canute or something like that?
Yakima Canute was in charge of the horses and was in charge of the stunts. And his son, in fact, was the double for Heston in some parts of the chariot race, although both Heston and Stephen Boyd did parts of their own stunts. But Andrew Marton was the director of the chariot race.
So it's kind of ironic that your father wanted to do the chariot race and he wound up not doing that and doing everything else.
That's right. You know, the chariot race was being shot at the same time as everything else. So it was an impossible job to do both.
Did he bring his concerns home?
He always brought his concerns home.
Was discussed over the dinner table?
The dinner tables of my childhood were always about the characters and the plots. And he always listened to us, and we never felt he ever took our advice on anything. But he did listen.
Uh-huh. And he was just working things out, and you were sounding boards, I
That's
imagine.
Right. And he was this reputation that he had for not telling actors what he wanted was very much because he wanted ideas from them. He wanted to see what their ideas were, in case they might be better than his, and go from there. He wanted them thinking about their parts.
Well, they say that casting is the key, one of the most important parts of a success. And if you trust your actors, then there's no need to tell Charlton Heston how to deliver a line.
That's right. I think it's more that if you've steered your actors to thinking in the right way about the character, then they'll figure out how to deliver the line. You can't do it for them.
And in this case, Charlton Heston is playing Judah Ben-Hur, a Jewish nobleman in Palestine who's been enslaved by the Romans and then has an encounter with Jesus. This was based on a best-selling novel by Lew Wallace, a man who also was associated with segregationist policies, wasn't he? Do you know about that?
I don't know about that. I do know that apparently the book itself started off slow but became an enormous bestseller of the 19th century, I think.
The DVD collection edition also features never-before-seen Heston family home movies. How were they found?
Well, I didn't know this at the time, but apparently Lydia Heston, Chuck's wife, was on the set a lot of the time making home movies. So there's this vast treasure trove of film that nobody has seen. And I do know that Chuck Heston kept very careful diaries. He was a very thoughtful man. And I made a documentary about my father called Directed by William Wyler. And he was so well prepared and so thoughtful. He told me, for example, that at the end of the movie, at the very last shot, my father really agonized over how he was going to depict Jesus and the crucifixion. I mean, after all, you know, the great minds through centuries have struggled with how to depict the crucifixion. Anyway, the very last shot on the movie was Heston looking at the crucifixion, and they finally shot it, and my father said, "Wrap," and he said, "Thanks a lot, Chuck. I'll try to get you a better part next time."
I think Charlton Heston was very grateful for this. Did he win an Oscar as
he
well?
He did, absolutely.
Now, why was this the most expensive film of its time? I would think today it probably would have been a little cheaper just because you could have used CGI in the chariot.
That's right. It probably would look entirely different today. But it was the most
Well, that they would have shot it in 3D today.
That's right. But at the time, they were the biggest sets ever made by far. Nothing had like the chariot race set had ever been built before. They had 300 sets in all. They had these incredible 65-millimeter cameras. There were only six of them in the world, and there were three in use for the chariot race. Two my father was using, and one was left behind at the studio for backup, and they were enormous and unwieldy and made a beautiful picture.
This is not CinemaScope. This is some other kind of widescreen.
Other kind of widescreen that's even bigger and better.
Catherine Weiler is the daughter of William Weiler. We're talking about Ben-Hur. The 50th anniversary Ultimate Collector's Edition is just being released by Warner Home Video on DVD and Blu-ray, and it'll be shown in its full screen glory at Alice Tully Hall on Saturday, October 1st, as part of the New York Film Festival. It's 10:30 a.m. As part of the 2011 Masterworks series. Your father made some pretty great films. Do you consider this one of his best?
I do consider it one of his best, but my only hesitation is that it has sometimes overshadowed other great films that he made, from Isaac Dodsworth and The Letter, Jezebel, The Best Years of Our Lives,
Mrs. Miniver,
Roman Holiday, Mrs. Miniver, some pictures that that I like a lot. For example, The Big Country, Friendly Persuasion, The Collector.
It was a great career.
It was a great career. And we actually had trouble finding a biographer for him because everyone said, yeah, but he was successful for so long. But there is a good biography of him by Jan Herman called A Talent for Trouble.
Now, English wasn't his first language. So did your mother play a role behind the scenes in helping him get through sometimes?
Well, my mother played an important role, which I think is a nice thing about Hollywood. My mother was the reader. Since English was his third language, he grew up speaking French and German. He didn't really like to read a lot in English. And so it became known in Hollywood that my mother read everything. She was the gatekeeper, and you needed to get by her. So she definitely had a role.
And she obviously picked good material for him.
I think so.
I understand that for this release, the film has undergone a $1 million restoration. Was it deteriorating?
Well, it was 50-some years old, 50 years old when they started the restoration, and so I think it probably was. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they spent so much time really, making sure that the blues were the blues from the beginning, etc. And since it was shot in such an unusual 65 whatever, I think they had an awesome job.
When did you first become aware that your father wasn't just dad, but somebody people considered special?
Well, I think my father was a very modest man, which is unusual in Hollywood. So the way that I discovered it was really by the way other people treated him. There were a lot of famous people came to our house, and they always seemed sort of in awe of him. And it was probably that.
Although, as his children, you probably weren't as much in awe.
No, we weren't
Kids
in awe.
Kids never respect their parents.
And he also said that the great thing about his kind of celebrity was that no one knew him on the street, but the maitre d's did. Mm-hmm. And he could get a good table, and he could talk to a lot of interesting people.
You also went into the business?
I did. I didn't plan to. There was a lot of propaganda in my childhood about what a difficult business it was and that he was just lucky to have a job, and look around, all my friends are out of work and this is so terrible and I don't know if I'll ever work again. And but what he forgot to mention was what an interesting business it was. So I did come back to it after a while, and basically because I went to the National Endowment for the Arts in the 70s and discovered that all kinds of people could be producers and directors, not just the ones that I'd grown up with in Hollywood.
So you've produced Memphis Belle and held executive positions at Columbia Pictures and also worked at PBS.
Mm-hmm. I did. I was at PBS. I was in charge of – I asked if it couldn't be called entertainment, but they said no, cultural programming and children's programming.
Are they asking you to do a Q&A for the screening at the New York Film Festival?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard about that.
It's interesting that it will be it'll be one of the stars of this festival, but 50 years ago, I don't know if the festival is 50 years old, but it's getting there. I doubt that Ben-Hur would have been one of the films that would have been shown at the festival.
You know, my father, I'm sure it wouldn't have been. My father...
Because it's not an art film.
It's not an art film. And my father always felt that this film did great things on many levels, but it damaged him very much with the critical... critical population. They really never got over the fact that he made this epic as opposed to, you know, the artier films he'd made.
Although Bosley Crowther, the New York Times reviewer, loved it. That's what I remember.
Oh, good.
A listener asked about his working relationship with Samuel Goldwyn.
Ah, well, he described it as a sort of a love-hate relationship. They fought all the time. Fighting was not about money, that Goldwyn was a generous producer once he decided to make something, but the fighting was always about matters of taste. And
Goldwyn knew something about the movie business.
Oh, definitely, sure. So he was a generous producer, but he knew what he wanted, and there are still things in his movies. For example, at Wuthering Heights, Kathy dies at the end. And Goldwyn said he doesn't like to look at dead people at the end of a movie. And there's a shot that my father refused to make of a couple of ghosts walking through the moors at the end.
Were you named Catherine after?
Absolutely.
Catherine Wyler is the daughter of William Wyler. We're talking about Ben-Hur, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Warner's Home Video has released the Ultimate Collector's Edition on both DVD and Blu-ray. And you can see the film at the New York Film Festival at 10:30 a.m. in Alice Tully Hall as part of the 2011 Masterworks series this Saturday at 10:30 in the morning. Thank you so much for being with us, Catherine.
Thank you.